Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner. And we are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
Are you sure, Bill?
Could save you. What?
I said, are you sure you like, we're coming to you from the whatchamadoo?
I don't think anybody else felt that way. I think that was just you. You just trying to hate. I see you trash talking on Deadspin,
man,
ripping people left and right on Deadspin. Now you coming after me? Can a brother get through the intro?
It wouldn't be the Odd Couple, would it?
My goodness.
It wouldn't be the Odd Couple. All right.
All right, let me start this over. We are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
Well,
15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. You have already heard his voice, so I'm just going to welcome him in, my partner, Mr. Rob Parker. What up, man?
What's happening? How are you on this Trash Talking Tuesday?
Yes, yes.
And, in the final hour of the program, your chance to trash anyone, anything in the world of sports. And if you did catch my Deadspin Trash Talking Tuesday, I trashed Bill Belichick's coaching tree, which really isn't blossoming too many good coaches.
Wow.
Did you see that record? 208. 269-1. That's the record of all his assistants.
209-1.
Because Matt Patricia had a tie.
Right, right, right.
That's it.
Wow. And here's the thing, too. Mike Vrabel, a lot of people want to try to give Belichick credit for him, but he just played for Belichick.
He didn't coach with Belichick. No. He doesn't count. No,
his
I agree.
His first job, wasn't it under, Mike Tomlin.
Exactly. So you can't count him. He would come from the Mike Tomlin tree, not now, Bill Belichick.
Absolutely.
And the only guy he's got, Flores, who's doing okay, but it's only year two.
Right.
So we can't, you know, check him as a success yet, although he looks like he's on the right
Flores
path.
Flores looks good, yeah.
Right.
But you're right. It's early.
It's
Let's see what happens.
But I do want to say this real quick. If there's so many new products on GetRobbed.com, including, Alex, you can chime in on this. People, Chris, are buying our drops, the Odd Couple drops.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So people are into it.
Last time you said people, it was four.
It's more than four. I'm not going to give you the number, but it's more than four.
I mean, I'm just saying.
It's more than that.
All right.
But I think that's cool that people want, you know, the drops that they hear on the show. So if you do, and it's only $5.99, if you put in the code ROB, you get 20% off that. So it's under $5 with the code. So go to GetRobbed.com if you like the drops, the new beanies, sweatshirts, everything for the holiday season. All right, the commercial's
over. All right, sounds good. Right. Big game last night. We talked about it yesterday. Seattle Seahawks beat the Philadelphia Eagles. We said it was a big game for Carson Wentz, and quite frankly, he didn't deliver. 25 for 45, a Hail Mary at the end gets him over 200 yards. It was ugly. No, to use Rob Parker's words, it was fugly.
Fugly.
All right, it was bad. And so we will get to that at the bottom of the hour with the former All-Pro running back for the Eagles, Brian Westbrook. So we'll be able to talk to him about Wentz and where they go from here, quite honestly. So,
home, dinner, maybe a show, because it ain't the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, in that division,
still.
It could be. All right. But anyway, let's introduce the Odd Couple crew and get it rolling. We got super producer Rob G running things. We got DJ Alex Tyshert, a.k.a. Alex the Vegan, on the ones and the twos. And then we got our man Ralph Irvin on the update. So great show for you. Keep it locked right here for the next 3 hours. Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or SiriusXM Channel 83. Rob, speaking of ugly and fugly and all of that, Michigan, it's no secret. It's a horrible season for them. They are, what, 2-4? Which is that's like impossible. 2-4.
And when you look at some of the losses, Chris, and they haven't even played Ohio State. Oh, look at what they've been through.
And Ohio State's not going to take it easy on them.
No.
They could put up triple figures, triple digits on them. But
What is the game that they lost to Indiana? Was it Indiana?
Well, Indiana's ranked 13th, but they did, lose to them 38-21.
But is that
Wisconsin
the first time?
Wisconsin trounced them 49-11.
But when Indiana beat them, what was it?
Yeah, I don't know. It was 20-something years, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Exact, like Indiana hadn't won in like 25 years, something like that.
Yeah, and they just lost to a previously winless Penn State team.
Right.
Which, what's going on with them? But they beat Michigan at the Big House by 10. I mean, my goodness, it's bad. And Urban Meyer, good old Ohio boy, and obviously coached at Ohio State, he had no problem throwing a little salt in the wound. Here's what he said.
Chris,
about,
let me just throw, it was 1987, just to get that.
Okay, so 23 years.
Indiana hadn't won.
No, 30, is that 33
Yeah, it's over 30,
wow.
Yeah.
33 years.
Is that unbelievable? Wow.
That is. All right, here's Urban Meyer on what's going on in Michigan.
You have to develop and implement a culture. Number two, you have to acquire talent. It's called talent acquisition and development. You watch them play. They're 2-5 in the last 7 games. I think it's time to blow it up. I think it's time to really evaluate the culture, dig deep. 2-5 is not. There's something going on. And once again, I said this a couple weeks ago, don't start saying there's bad players. That's not fair.
Oh, not
Man,
bad players.
He hit him on everything. Culture. All right, it'd be one thing if you just got there, right, 6 weeks ago. It's been 6 years, Rob.
No, I agree.
And he's saying you have not developed a culture, number one.
These
number
are
two,
your guys, too, Chris. Yes. It's not like, you know what, first, when you first come as a college coach, you know, the recruits from the coach previous, right, are there, and you got to bring your own guys. You got to weed out guys and get your own guys there. It's been 6 years. These are your guys. These aren't Brady Hoke's guys. They're nobody else's but Jim Harbaugh's guys, and they're not playing for him.
No question. And the only saving grace for him, when you look at his early years there, is that you could say those, yeah, they were Brady Hoke's guys. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But Hoke wasn't winning with them, and Harbaugh did at least win with them. But now that you're right, he's got his own guys. He's not even obviously winning. I mean, Rob, if someone had said that Michigan would be 2-4 at this point, and they would have lost to a winless Penn State team, I don't think anyone would believe that. They were ranked in the top 20 in the preseason. No one would have believed that, but let's go on. He says you got no talent, you don't acquire talent, and then you don't develop the talent you got. That's what he said, and Jim Harbaugh took notice because obviously, you know, there's no love lost between coaches at Michigan and Ohio State, Rob. And here's what Harbaugh said in response.
And don't forget, Urban Meyer owned Jim Harbaugh, so you know that was another part of it.
Yeah, I don't think it hurt him to say that, what he said. But here's his response, Harbaugh's response to the Detroit Free Press. Coach is attacking it. The team is competing. The team is really working at it. There's disdain for the process by some. But to us, that's the whole ball game. I think sometimes outside of the program, I think people are very results-oriented. And the process to us is very important. Process not as important outside of the program as it is to us inside the program. Rob, please let me say something first.
All right. You know what I'm going to say, but go ahead.
And you know, look, I've defended Harbaugh, and I do think it's not working out, obviously. I still think he's a good coach. I think he can go on. You wrote a column this week. Deadspin about him, he'd be a good choice for the Lions to certainly consider. And I agree. Like, he obviously did great in the NFL. He didn't win it, But he got. She did everything but win it. Yeah.
Right. And there aren't that many guys walking around, Chris, NFL coaches who have been to the Super Bowl, you know, absolutely, who aren't retired or passed on at this point. Yep. I mean, very few. So he does have that in his back pocket.
Absolutely. So we're not burying him as a coach, but obviously he's not working at Michigan. Here's what I say. When I look at this quote, though, Rob, it's bothersome. He's the fourth highest paid coach in the land. I believe $8 million a year. And you're talking about the team is competing? They're working hard, really? And then you bring up people are results oriented. Jim, they're not paying you $8 million a year or seven and a half, whatever it is, to not be results oriented, to get better week by week, but still be 3-7 or whatever. Little moral victories are not why you're the fourth highest paid coach in the nation. This is the language of losers. And I'm not saying Harbaugh's a loser, but I am shocked to see him go to this language. Because that's what this is. This is, hey, we're getting better week by week. This is what you say when you're out of it. And I know they are out of it. But at Michigan, that's not good enough. And saying it's about the process and, you know, it's everybody's so results-oriented, but our guys are getting better every week. I saw improvement last week. No! The only improvement we need to see is W's. Period. So this is, this is beneath him. This is beneath Jim Harbaugh. He shouldn't have let those words come out of his mouth.
I agree with you on that standpoint. And what have I always said about sports? Sports has a short menu, Chris. It's wins and losses. Yes, Jim, it's about results. Do you know why they paid you that big money to come back to your alma mater? Because you won games in the NFL, right, Chris. It wasn't because you were getting better. It's because you took a trip to the Super Bowl. It's because you went to three straight NFC championship games. You won. That's why they hired you. Stop this cop-out. And the other Jim Harbaugh apologists are always like, well, Michigan never really won national championship. What do you expect him to do? No! That's why you brought him back, Chris, because you wanted to see, you wanted to get over that hump. You're right. Michigan's won one national championship since the Louisiana Purchase. That's it. It was time for Jim Harbaugh to come back and get it righted to stop Ohio State from kicking your tail year in and year out. And then you're going to go over there like a dog in the corner whimpering, going, I saw some progress last week. And, you know, it's the process. People don't want to give us time. Time? 6 years, not 6 months. Nobody expects you to win in 6 months. But I'm with you, Chris. You said he's not a loser, but he sounded like one. That's real talk. That's what losers sound like. Or beaten guys, when you're beaten down and you're licking your wounds and you're trying to tell people that it's okay, that bread didn't fall on the ground. I'm sorry to hate to tell you. That ain't butter. That's dirt. That's where Michigan is.
Well, it makes you wonder, Rob, if he's got his eye on the exit.
Right.
It really does. Because, you know, when you start talking about the kids are competing, they're giving their all. I mean, you know, like, that looks like, you know what? Hey, they're not that good. They're trying. It is what it is. And I'm out of here.
I'd have more respect if he said, man, I just haven't done my job. I know it's tough here. I know a pandemic's going on, Chris. I know we didn't get to do all the practices we wanted, but we haven't performed. And that's on me, not on the kids. That's on me.
I agree.
And that's all because, you know what? Ohio State's been through the same thing, and all they do is mow down people. And I know they got better talent, Chris, but Michigan should be better than this. Period.
I mean, he darn near, the only thing left for him to bring up was, hey, we got academic requirements that the other schools don't have. I mean,
you know, like, Ohio State, they let anybody in.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean?
I mean, that and look, I haven't been as hard on him as you, obviously. I they're relevant, or they were.
Not anymore. I mean, you used to be able to use that.
Right. They were in the top 20 every, four of his 5 years.
How about not this year?
Oh, yeah. My God. This, like I said, no one could have predicted this. And, his reputation obviously has been he wears on people.
Right.
And you obviously have to wonder if that's going on right here. But this was bad. This hurt my heart. As a guy that's given, $300,000+ to Michigan.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Over the last 4 years.
Chris Broussard sent an email today requesting a refund from the University of Michigan. And he didn't cite a bad education. He didn't cite a bad dorm room for his daughter. He cited bad college football coach by Jim Harbaugh. Hey, I want my money
back.
When
I went to visit Ann Arbor and we went to football games, it was ugly. It was ugly.
Even your parents wanted out. We're like, what do you do? They say, Chris, how could you bring us to this game out waste this time of our lives we can never get back?
All right, what do you guys think? It was just bad. All right, 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in on Jim Harbaugh. Should the quote-unquote loser language of Jim Harbaugh prevent him from returning to the NFL next year? And I don't even think that. But let me ask you, do you think it's loser language? You think Rob and I are tripping? Are Rob and I off? Are we wrong in thinking that was loser language? Your turn to weigh in, 877-99 on Fox. It's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, on a Tyshia Tuesday. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And, look, if you got a car, chances are you've dealt with a dead battery. I just had to deal with one a week ago. What'd I do? Did I cry? Did I moan? Did I try to avoid the situation? No, I headed to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination, because I knew from doing these segments, I knew that they offer free battery services such as free battery testing and free battery charging. So next time you're having battery trouble, listen to me. Head to AutoZone. It's your battery solution, plus it's America's number one battery destination. All right, 877-99 on Fox. Your turn to weigh in. Were we too hard on Harbaugh, or is indeed what he said the language of losers?
All right, let's kick it off with G in Michigan. You're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, G?
What's going on, guys?
What up, bro?
I'm all right, man. Hey, look, man. Yeah, it's time for him to go. Hey, man, I ain't never seen Michigan play this bad my whole life. The first game I ever went to was to see Brooks Ballinger when he was on Wisconsin versus Michigan. And, man, the Big House ain't been rocking sticks. They've been giving tickets away. People been throwing they merchandise away. Hey, man, it's getting bad. I can't even go in Ohio State with my hat on no more, man. I got to fight people. It's crazy. He got to go, man. He got to go, bro.
This is bad.
You, G.
The last time anything close to this, Rob, I mean, you could talk about Brady Hoke's last year, 5-7.
Which Rodriguez?
Had a 5-7 year. Before, he had a 3-9 year followed by a 5-7 year. That was 2008-09. So, yeah, that's the last time it was this bad.
No doubt.
This is horrible.
Alex in Florida, you're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. I enjoy your show. Listen to you every chance I get.
Appreciate it.
I was born just outside of Ann Arbor. Michigan alumni. I've been watching them for about 55 years. I have never seen a worse Michigan football team.
Wow.
I thought Rich Rodriguez was bad, and he was. But this team here this year, I've seen every game on TV, unfortunately, because I'm not up there. But they don't look like they practice during the week. They look like they come out there on the weekend and play. They don't practice during the week. They're totally unprepared.
When you hear Jim Harbaugh talk about this, though, talk about the process, and it's not always about wins and losses. That's what he said without saying it. What do you think of when you hear that? And this guy's making $8 million a year.
Yeah, that's a good point. Third or fourth highest paid coach, I believe.
Right, fourth.
And, you know, I can go along. You know, it's the process. There's more. It's college football. There's more than winning involved. And there's a certain amount of truth to that. But no, but not the way things are this year.
You're supposed to do both.
This is an unprepared football team.
Yeah, yep. You're supposed to do both, Alex. In Michigan. At the top program, nobody's saying you don't, character's not important. But, Rob, if we really keep it real, they don't care about graduation rates for the most part. I'm not just saying Michigan. I'm talking about in general, right? They care about wins losses. At the top level, it's a pro sport. Let's
squeeze in Al from the IE, the Inland Empire in California. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
When the twin powers activate.
That's right.
Hey, man.
You know you sound corny every time you say that.
I love
that,
it.
You lose whatever street cred you
Al,
got.
Don't listen
every
to Chris.
Every time you say that.
Don't listen to Chris.
I'm trying to hang on to as much as I can, Chris. I swear.
Hang on to it.
Hey, look, last time, hey, man, I'm doing good. I hope y'all had a good Thanksgiving, man. And
yes.
I appreciate y'all getting me on. You know, I told you last time I was born in Michigan, so I always watch the Michigan games, man, and to me, I kind of interpreted it more about the fact that, and I know Harbaugh's brought this up in the past, it's about the process of recruiting. It's about that whole thing that we always talk about when it comes to how college sports is real shady. And if you notice, I mean, we're always talking about how a great quarterback like him or a good quarterback like him can't seem to find a good quarterback.
Well, then
and
you know
I think
what?
A lot of that.
So you're saying that when he mentions the process, he's talking about recruiting?
So he's saying that everybody's cheating except him. Is that what he's saying? Because if Jim Harbaugh knows that cheating is going on and this is what's happening, expose it.
I don't even think he's saying that.
No, and but I'm saying, Chris, if that's what you're hinting around, well, I can't do it the way that everybody else is doing. Or whatever. I'm just saying, expose it then. Clean up the game. Point out the people who are cheating.
No, I agree. And I don't buy the whole recruiting thing. Like, again, if this was his first year, you didn't have your own players, right? And you talk about, well, we're going to get our guys in here. Don't worry. The process will be fine. That's one thing.
Right.
This is 6 years in. the word process shouldn't even come out of your mouth. I mean, really. All right. How much blame does Carson Wentz deserve for that debacle yesterday, plus just the overall dysfunction that's taking place in Philadelphia? Former Eagles All-Pro Brian Westbrook has the answer next. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He was an All-Pro running back with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now does a great job as an NFL analyst here at Fox Sports Radio and Fox Sports One Television Network. Our man, Brian Westbrook. What's up, brother? How are you?
What's happening?
Chris, what's going on, brother? How's everything? What's up, Rob? How's everything, guys?
Man, all good. We appreciate you, of course.
Yes, especially during these tough times for anybody affiliated with the Eagles. And, I mean, Brian, I know you know what's going on. You got your finger in the pulse of that organization. We got to go way back to see a fall from grace, like what we've seen with Carson Wentz. And I know we could talk about injuries to the offensive line and so on and so forth, but he looks like he has no confidence. Like he looks lost. He looks to me like he kind of needs a fresh start elsewhere. Am I going overboard?
You know what, Chris? I don't think you're going overboard at all. Carson Wentz, you know, in just in a couple years has gone from a guy that many people, not just one person, but many people were saying was an MVP candidate to a guy that is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. It's just hard to imagine someone going from that. And really, I'm starting to think of guys like Markelle Fultz, the number one overall pick, going to a situation where he doesn't even know how to shoot, can't shoot a basketball, that type of fall from grace. You know, it's been hard to watch, too. And I've talked to numerous players on the team, and you're talking about watching it from afar. It's hard to be a part of that locker room every single week knowing that your quarterback is struggling in this way. And, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why. But the number one thing starts with Carson Wentz, his mentality, his thought process. And then you can think go on to the offensive line injuries and the wide receivers and things like that. But I always start with the main cause, and that's Carson Wentz and his ability to get himself right. And one of the things that we've seen, though, Chris, over time is Carson Wentz hasn't wanted to be coached. And they said that over time, that there was Corson there in Philadelphia early on in his career. They got rid of one of his quarterback coaches. And at that point, the quarterback coach said, me and Carson didn't have a great relationship because I coached him too
and
hard.
That's Frank Reich, I imagine, right? Frank Reich?
Yeah, Frank Reich was part of that group. But DeFilippo was the actual quarterback coach. And Frank Reich was the guy that was kind of putting things together from the offensive side. But, yeah, it just is not working out. And usually in these situations, getting a fresh start helps a bunch.
I was going to ask you about coaching and is there any other blame? There's a lot of issues with that team, quarterback indefinitely, but they just seem not to be as well coached as maybe we thought they were. Is there any truth to that?
Well, Rob, when you talk about problems with your quarterback and getting better, your coaches are responsible for that. Your coaches are responsible for making sure that every single season you get better. And then, of course, you have some responsibility as a player as well. But it just doesn't seem like this coaching staff. And remember, the Eagles went through a major reshuffling of their coaching staff, their offensive coaching staff, this offseason. And they thought they were going to get rid of some guys and bring in some different guys, and they were going to be able to get it done. And now we see an offense that last night in their first five possessions had five straight three and outs. I mean, it's just hard to win or stay in the game when you can't perform, when you're starting that slowly. So, yeah, of course, the coaching staff is a big part of that. And you have to talk about the play calls, and that's Doug Peterson, the head coach. He's the guy that's making the play calls. You have to start there. He hasn't found the rhythm of his football team. And of course, that goes right along with some of the struggles from the quarterback position.
Let me follow up real quick, Chris. Doug, is there a chance that maybe he might get let go? I mean, I know the owner's not happy with where things are. Somehow last year, somehow, some way, they wound up winning the division. Remember, they had a big game against Dallas at home. They won that game. They won the division. But is there any chance that Doug could get let go?
You know, Rob, I think there is a real chance, and I always hate calling for people's job, but I think there's a real chance because of the disappointment from Jeffrey Lurie. Just last June, they paid Carson Wentz, and when you pay a quarterback, you expect your team to continue to get better and compete for division titles and compete for conference titles and, of course, Super Bowls. And this team at this point is 3-7-1. That's pitiful. That's just not going to cut the mustard. And, of course, you look at the GM as far as his drafting, and you look at the head coach. And are those guys getting the best out of their players? And right now the answer has to be no.
Brian, what are you hearing about Jalen Hurts in practice, how good or bad he looks? And do you think at this point it's time to go to him and give him a shot as a starter?
Well, here's the hard part for rookie quarterbacks, especially if you're not the starter. Now, if you're the starter, you're getting all the reps with the first team and things like that. So you at this point in the season, you've got a lot of reps. You've got a lot of reps in it. And as we know, the more reps you get, the better usually you're going to be. Because he's a second-string guy, he's not getting any reps, very many reps with the starters throughout the entire season. Also, you got to remember, no OTAs, no mini camps, and no offseason as far as preseason games. So we haven't seen him in a game action under center. The only action that we've seen him in games is during the season, and that's kind of the wildcat hybrid quarterback type of role. So at this point, I don't know that anyone knows exactly what Jalen Hurts is going to do underneath center in an NFL game. And because of that, and among other reasons, and the other big reason and kind of the elephant in the room at this point is Carson Wentz's contract. You can't sit him on the bench, and you certainly can't get him off the team because of the salary cap implications for the next couple of years. So, I mean, if you're going to have a $60 million dead money cap hit by getting rid of him next year and then a $25 million dead money cap hit the year after that, then that means that guy has to stay here and he has to play. And at that point,
if let's say you put Jalen Hurts in, and let's say he does well, then what happens? What's the next game plan? What's the next thing? What's the next piece of the puzzle? That it really is no end, because at that point you still got to go back to Carson because you can't financially get away from him. And so I think that's a big part of why they're not playing Jalen Hurts, and certainly one of the reasons why they can't move on from Carson Wentz even after this season.
I was going to ask you, you know, Rob and I actually mentioned it yesterday, Frank Reich having been there in Philadelphia. Do you think in Indianapolis or even a Chicago or any team for that matter that really needs a quarterback, do you think a team like that might take a chance on Carson in a trade? Or you just think that the way he's looked, that's just too much money for anybody to trade for likely?
Well, that would be my fear. That, I mean, if I was Indianapolis, and let's say I was a fan of the Colts, and they said, okay, we're going to trade for Carson Wentz. And all their fans are like, well, hold on. We're trading for a quarterback that is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, and we're going to pay him top dollar? It just doesn't make any sense. And how could you get your fan base excited about that? How could you get your fan base excited about moving on from Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles, the guy that won the Super Bowl with Carson's team in Philly, and bringing in Carson Wentz to an organization that's already struggling? It's just hard to – it would be hard for me to sell that when I look at it.
I get that, but we've seen it done before. You know, change of scenery, coaches. We just saw, and obviously Doc Rivers is a little different because Doc Rivers had already won a championship, but he came off a very disappointing loss, choke job with the Clippers, and it didn't stop anybody from hiring Doc Rivers 10 minutes later. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just saying, and I know Carson Wentz didn't win anything and Doc did.
Yeah,
but I've seen people move around despite, you know what I mean, with the whole notion that we're going to get this guy righted and get him corrected and get the right coaching. Because that's how you'd have to sell it.
Well, see, the big difference, of course, is Doc has won in the past. We understand that. But also, more importantly, Doc wasn't one of the worst coaches in the league. I mean, if you're telling me that he's one of the worst coaches in the NBA and then he gets another opportunity, then I'm shaking my head like, what's going on right now? But Doc's team made it to the playoffs. They just didn't go as far in a COVID type of system in the bubble as they would have liked to. But to me, it's almost comparing apples and oranges at this point because, again, Carson went from an MVP candidate to one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. That's a big difference between just average.
Before you go, we got 30 seconds left. I know you're a big NBA fan, big Brooklyn Nets fan. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to ask you the generic, hey, oh, you excited about this year? You got Durant and Kyrie. I'm going straight to it. Do you want James Harden?
Absolutely. I'm one of these guys.
That's a chemistry experiment extraordinaire. You know that.
Well, listen, if you got to figure it out. How bad do you want to win a championship? That's the question. It can't be about attitude. It has to be solely about winning. James Harden obviously wants to win. Kyrie and KD have already had championship rings on put on their finger. Those three, if you're able to get them together, certainly should be able to figure it out. I would hope they would be, especially trying to win a championship.
That's our man, Brian Westbrook, former All-Pro
Brian,
running back.
You know
back.
That sometimes too many cooks spoil a broth. Too many guys.
Yeah, we'll keep him to football.
We'll get you back in. No,
forward.
We want to talk next time. We'll get him back on. Thank you, buddy.
Now, look, you couldn't write him off because that talent is ridiculous. But it'd be a heck of an experiment, I'll tell you that. All right, that's Brian Westbrook. We got more iCouple coming your way. In fact, I say this facetiously, I think that's the right word. We got the most unbiased power rankings in America coming up. Parker's NFL power rankings are next.
You are fake news.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And folks, it is time for Parker's NFL Power Rankings.
Can you increase your power?
Do you need the power?
Yeah.
Well, here it comes.
Power.
Can you feel
power.
The power?
Power.
It's Parker's Power Rankings.
All right, here we go. Let's kick it off.
Number five.
You know, Seattle won last night, Chris, so they're 8-3, like Buffalo. They're both 8-3. But I'm going to give the nod to the Buffalo Bills. That win over Philadelphia, that was like taking candy from a baby. So I'm not going to like be that pumped up about
wow.
it. And when I think of Buffalo, think about this, Chris. They're in sights of winning their first AFC title since Moby Dick was a guppy, 1995. Can you believe that? 1995.
You mean their first AFC East?
Yes.
Okay. You said AFC.
AFC East.
There's one team
no.
winning the AFC. We know that.
AFC East. Don't jinx them now. AFC East. So I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. And if somehow, some way they can beat Pittsburgh, that's the big game on the schedule. That's coming up soon. So that'll be the game in week 14. Yeah, in week 14. If they win that, that might make them feel like, okay, we really are in this and we can do that. So they're number five. Number four, the Green Bay Packers. They get another win. They're 8-3. They're rolling along. They're going to wrap off the NFC North. Chris, Aaron Rodgers is playing well. They've won some games. I think all they got to do is keep playing the way they are, shore up some defense, and we do have some Packers stuff.
I put Aaron Rodgers in my mouth anytime I want. Stop. Hey, Alex, you know better. I told you to destroy that drop.
And the only reason
Chris
wanted that because he had four touchdowns this past week. All right.
Number three.
I know you're going to trip out over my number three. It's the 10-0 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
I get it. They're undefeated.
You are putting way too much in a close win over the Dallas Cowboys.
That didn't feel good. The four turnovers they needed to beat Baltimore, that didn't feel good.
Baltimore's a good team. They forced those turnovers.
What
do you mean?
Nah, I just can't buy it.
Yeah, Baltimore just gave them the ball.
They're the worst 10-0 team I've ever seen in NFL history. But they
Patriots
are 10-0.
Were worse 8-0 last year.
No, they were bad too.
They were worse 8-0.
Number two.
You're hard on the Steelers.
Number two, the Kansas City Chiefs at 10-1.
God. Wow.
That's what I'm upset about. That's ridiculous.
What? No, they are
far and away the best team in the NFL. They look
like the
Warriors.
No, they're number two, and they're 10-1, and they haven't played that many top 10 defenses. They've had an easy way, and Tampa Bay doesn't nearly feel as good as it would have earlier in the season.
He whipped it out on Tom Brady
and just put it all on the table.
What? I know you're not talking about Aaron Rodgers because he didn't whip out anything.
And here we go.
Number one.
Stop it.
New Orleans Saints, 9-2, even with Drew Brees, Chris sideline. They continue to roll, and it's because of that defense. I think ultimately that's what's going to be able to get them where they want to go because they'll have the defense. You got to play both sides of the ball, and then Drew Brees will come back. So right now, Hill is doing just fine, and the defense
just
is
fine.
Doing even better.
He threw for 78 yards.
What did he have to do, Chris?
78 yards.
How big did they win, Chris?
They played a team that didn't have a quarterback.
And Chris, the defense did what
they
had to do against.
They had a wide receiver.
It's funny because the Saints held them to 3 points, and they held Tom Brady to 3 points as well.
Taysom Hill looked bad, Rob. He looked like a good fullback.